Here today, probably still wearing that big watch. It's weighing us down, it's causing us to go to the left, it's causing us to veer off to the right, but it's certainly not causing us to go straight. And some of us here today think that we're runners, but we're not. We think we walk in the light, but we aren't. And it's not until we have the true light in our hearts that we can ever hope to stop stumbling around in the darkness and veering off to the left and veering off to the right. This video depicts what I want to talk about this morning and the verses I want to look at. There is a contrast between walking in the light and walking in the darkness, between wearing a big watch and not wearing a big watch. See, we can't do both at the same time. This morning, I want to take a look at what walking in the light is all about. I think we have a pretty good idea of what walking in the darkness is. Most of us have been there. Maybe some of us are still really walking in the darkness. We haven't really been free from that at all. Many of us have perhaps come from a lifestyle that had this huge watch hanging around our wrist that we couldn't get off. And we remember stumbling and tripping over things, veering off in the wrong direction, making decisions that were not healthy for us. Well, I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. And I want to look at verses 5 to 10 of that chapter. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. I want to read those for you this morning. His word says this. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's take a moment of prayer. Lord, I thank you for your truth, and I thank you that we can come into this place today to find out what the truth and the way and the life is all about. And Lord, I thank you that you are the true light, that you take us from a darkened place and you transform our lives so that we can walk in the light. And so Lord, I pray today as we go through these verses, and as we dig into your word, that you would guide our hearts and our thoughts. That your Holy Spirit would minister unto us and show us those areas that we need to change. To show us what our hearts look like and what our hearts could look like. And so, Lord, we come to you today asking for that. Thank you that you are here and your presence is with us. And we just want to lift this up to you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In today's scripture, John talks about walking in the light of the gospel. When this letter was written by John, Christianity had been around for about a generation. They had endured a lot of persecution, a lot of hardship these Christians had endured. And the main problem confronting this church that John is writing to and these believers was the declining commitment of many of them, many believers, who were starting to conform to the world's standards rather than to God's standards. Interesting that some 2,000 years later, maybe that's still the main problem in the church today. We don't want to conform to God's standards, we want to conform to the world's standards. But John is writing to these believers, and this is what he's talking about. As well, John had to deal with some false teachers that were out there. Some were coming in and trying to pull the believers away from the true light of the gospel that Jesus taught. And John was trying to put these believers back on track by showing them the difference between light and darkness. And to get us started, we need to go back to the whole premise of these verses, and that's found in verse 5. John writes, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you." And then he says two things. He says, number one, he is light. And number two, in him is no darkness at all. If you're following along in your sermon outline, you can fill that in that first those first couple blanks. And as you're going along here, you'll notice that you'll see one, two, and then two. That number, second two should be a one. Okay? Just so you know. I'll get you sorted out here a little bit as I go on. But just so we'll give you a heads up. But John says two things. He is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So what does he mean that God is light? What is John talking about? It means that he is the source and measure of all that is true. John is saying you don't have to listen to these false teachers because God is the true light. He's the source and measure of all that is true. What is the purpose of this light? What is the purpose of all that? Well, it helps us to see our way. It helps us from falling over things or stepping on those sharp toys that our kids leave in the hallway or hitting our head on a low branch. It helps us see the things we need to see. And we can think of physical light, but we can also think of spiritual light as well. Spiritual light helps us from tripping over things and veering off in the wrong direction. It helps us to see the things that we need to see so that we can go down the right path, the straight path. The story is told of a boy that was walking with his father along a lonely road at night, and they were carrying a lantern. And he told his father, he said, "You know, Dad, I'm a little afraid right now. It's so dark, and this little lantern doesn't really let me see ahead. I can't see way off into the distance. I can only see a little ways." And the father said, "Yeah, you're right, son. That's very true. But if you walk straight, and if you walk in the path that the lantern is showing you, we will get to the end of our journey." And that is the kind of light that God gives to us in our lives. God often gives us only a little light for a little path of the way, for a little distance from the path. But if we walk in that light, and if we keep true to that path, we will find that God provides enough light for the whole journey, for our whole lives. The psalmist writes in Psalm 119, 105, he says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We have God's word to guide us. That's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Jesus said in John 8:12, he says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That's Jesus talking. He's saying those things to the believers, and he says that to you and me today. He says, "I'm the light of the world. I'm the one that can change things. I'm the one who's a change agent in today's society." So we know that God is light. We know that in him is no darkness at all. There's no darkness that exists with God. But what does it mean that a person is walking in the light? Well, I want to give you a few of those details this morning. Here's where number two becomes number one. The first blank to fill in. A person walking in the light. So a person walking in the light is a person walking in obedience. Walking in obedience. And this obedience is obedience to God and to his word. As I mentioned earlier, John is helping these Christians with some false teaching that was going on in their day. And one of those groups that was providing this false teaching was the Gnostics, who believed that they didn't need Jesus to forgive their sins. They didn't believe that Jesus had come in the flesh as a real person. They didn't believe that he was the Messiah. They felt they didn't need Jesus because they had special knowledge and they had special revelation. They had taught, and they were teaching. Some of the teaching that was going around them is that they taught that Jesus did not really die. The false teacher said that people had no tendency towards sin and were incapable of sinning. They believed, these Gnostics believed they were sinless. Because the Gnostics said that Christians didn't have any sin, they denied sin totally. So John is responding to this kind of teaching. And he responds in 1 John and then in 2 John in verse 7, he's talking about it again. And he's saying, just hold on a second here, fellow brothers, sisters in the Lord. He says, just wait a second. No one can claim to be a Christian and still live a sinful life. Like this video, you can't claim to be a Christian and still have a big watch hanging on your wrist. It doesn't work that way. He let the believers know that sin cannot exist in the presence of a holy God. It is like light and darkness. They don't mix. If they wanted a relationship with God, they needed to put aside their sinful ways of living and start walking in the light, which meant walking in obedience. John gives us a test in verse 6 to see where we actually are in our walk. And in verse 6, we read, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. He's saying to the Christians then and to us today, so you claim to be a Christian, but you're not practicing the truth or being obedient to God's word. What do you mean? You're not practicing the truth. You're not living the way that God wants you to live. But you say you're a Christian? He says, if you're saying that you have Jesus Christ in your heart, but you don't keep his commandments, I'm sorry, folks, but you're not passing the test. We might say today, sure, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. I go to church. I'm in a cell group. I help out where I can. I do lots of things. I show up Sunday after Sunday. But as you continue to do the same old things and live the same old lifestyle as you did, before you became a so-called Christian, then you're not walking in the light. You're not walking in obedience. That big watch is pulling you way off course. Sin is not our friend. As much as we think it is because it pleases us and it satisfies some of our desires, sin is not our friend. It hinders our fellowship with God. It destroys our fellowship with other believers. But when we practice the truth and we walk in the light, we are no longer bound by sin. Ephesians 5, 8, 9 says, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness. The truth. See, we must walk in his light on a consistent daily basis. We need to get rid of our sinning lifestyle because sin is incompatible with walking in God's light. We must desire to live up to his commandments. If we walk in his light on a consistent basis, then it becomes integrated into our lives. It is who we are. It's not just a Sunday morning ritual. It's a deep-seated love relationship with our Heavenly Father, with Jesus Christ. Sure, we'll still have those moments of sin, but it doesn't control us. It doesn't make us veer way off to the left or to the right. It doesn't have that grip on us that it used to have because Jesus Christ has won the victory. Secondly, to walk in the light is to walk in transparency. That means living a life that hides nothing. A person walking in the light is a person walking in transparency. Light shows everything. Darkness basically hides everything. Mark Twain said, we're all like the moon. We have a dark side. We don't want anyone to see. We all have those areas in our lives that are probably very transparent. We're very open with people, but we all have those areas that are not so transparent. Maybe the glass is dark. Maybe mirrored, so when people look at you, they only see themselves in that glass, that mirrored glass. But we come back to verse 6 of this passage, and it says, if we say we have fellowship with him, and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice truth. So what can we do to help ourselves walk in transparency? What can we do to help ourselves walk in transparency? What can we do to live lives that are transparent? First of all, follow along in your sermon outline. First of all, regularly confess your sin to God. Walking in transparency means that we are confessing known sin. It doesn't mean we're going to have perfection, but it means that we're confessing that sin to God. Confessing our sin is a crucial part of walking in the light of Christ. Don't wait for a communion service to confess your sin to God. Daily confess your sin. Maybe it's before you go to bed at night, you think through your day. You go, no, Lord, can you just guide me here, because maybe there's some things that I did that maybe I'm not even aware of. Maybe there's some things in my heart that need to come before you that I need to confess. And so you do that. You let God search your heart. Let him bring up those things that are in your heart that need to change. Verse 9 reminds us of this passage. Verse 9 reminds us that if we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us and to make us clean, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful truth that is. We can confess our sins. God will make us clean. God is watching. We're hanging on the cross. That's how Jesus Christ died, so that we can be clean. Secondly, find someone to be accountable with. Find someone to be accountable with. This will help us live transparent lives. Now, there are ministries at this church to help you in this area. There's cell group, which is a small group ministry. There's home builders, in which you can get a group of ladies on Wednesday morning. You can break up into small groups for Bible study. You can talk, and maybe you can find someone there to be accountable with. There's a Thursday morning, the men's prayer and accountability time. It's a great way to get you started, men, if you don't know where to start. I know many of you meet with someone on a weekly basis to address this particular issue in your life, and you just want to be transparent, you want to be accountable to something. I know many of you have that thing going in your lives, and that's great. An accountability relationship just enhances this whole aspect of living lives that are transparent, which enables you and me to walk in the light. And how we need that in our lives, to be accountable to someone. Say, you know what? Slip up in this area. Can you just help me be accountable in this area of my life? It's a great way to start walking in the light. Thirdly, listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He will continue to let you know what is right and wrong. God has a wonderful way of doing that in our lives. And we take the time to be quiet before him and listen to what he has to say. He will let us know. But you see, the key is that we need to take the time. We need to sit in silence before the Lord and listen again and then obey his voice, what he's saying. So take time in your week when you can be still. And as the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. Find some time in the week when you can do that. When you can just be still before the Lord. Quietly listening to him. God will speak to you. He will bring to mind what he wants you to work on. Areas in your life that need to be cleaned up. We just need to listen to his Holy Spirit as he speaks to us. This whole aspect of transparency is perhaps one of the hardest areas to implement into our lives. Because we're kind of private people. In this society, we're kind of private people. We're like people kind of knowing our business. But you know, when it comes to God and spiritual things, we need help, and we need something to help us be transparent. By doing it, we grow in the Lord, and we learn more of who he wants us to be. Thirdly, a person walking in the light is a person walking in grace. A person walking in the light is a person walking in grace. Well, what does that mean? Well, grace, as a definition, there's probably lots of definitions out there. You've probably heard lots. This is another one you can add to your file. Grace is the goodness of God shown to people who don't deserve it. That's a person walking in grace. It's the goodness of God shown to people who don't deserve it. And that's each one of us in this room. We are saved by grace. Ephesians 3 and 9 tells us we are saved by grace. John Piper, in his book Future Grace, says this: grace would not be grace if it were a response to resources in us. Grace is grace because it highlights God's own overflowing resources of kindness. It's only because of God's grace. God takes us, he brings us out from under the power of sin and creates in us a new life. He takes our hearts, our minds, and our eyes and helps us to see and understand what it means that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Grace is a gift that only God can give. I can't give it to you. You can't give it to your accountability partner. Only grace can be given to you by God. And again, that's why Paul wrote to the Ephesians and he said, by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves is a gift of God. A wonderful verse for us to take. And we have to realize that when we're walking in the light, we're walking in the grace of God. See, we were dead and lifeless without God. We were unresponsive. We had no spiritual interest in anything before God got a hold of our hearts. We didn't care about who Christ was and what he did. We were dead to all that really mattered. And the interesting aspect of it all is that perhaps we thought we were really living life to the full, but we weren't. And then Jesus got a hold of our lives. And we realize how empty and dark that life was. And we see how radically different it is when we walk in grace and we walk in the light of Christ. Some of you here this morning thinking to yourself, I can live this life on my own. I don't need Jesus Christ. I don't need this grace thing he's talking about. I don't need forgiveness of sins. I don't need any of that. And you think you're experiencing everything about life. You're experiencing it to the full. But you're not. What needs to happen is for God to get a hold of your heart and to make you alive and to open your eyes and to see the glory of Christ and take your spiritual senses that are dead and miraculously give them life. And for those of us in this room who have had that grace experience happen, it's a wonderful thing. And any one of us would be happy to talk about how Jesus Christ got a hold of our lives and changed it. Whether that happened at a very young age, or whether that happened when you were older in life, it's still a wonderful testimony to Jesus Christ and what he has done in our lives. And there's lots of people in this room that can speak to that. But you see, you can't do that on your own. No matter how hard you try, it is impossible to change on your own. It's only through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that you will know what walking in the light and therefore walking in grace is. Finally, a person walking in the light is a person walking in fellowship. This word fellowship is used a few times in this text. And it speaks of our fellowship with God. It is when God opens our hearts and we open our hearts to him. He becomes our friend. We are knit together, having escaped the grasp and deprivation of the world. This word fellowship means communion in its true sense. And it denotes that two parties are sharing in whatever they have. So when we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we share in his goodness. And we share in his love. And we share in his grace. And we share in his forgiveness. Two men in the Old Testament, Enoch and Noah, and it says they both walked with God. You probably know a little bit about this stuff, especially Noah. God built the ark. Probably know a little bit about that. But it tells us that in Genesis chapter 6, it says that Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless in his time. And he walked with God. Wouldn't you like that relationship? To walk
is God.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if he said of you at your funeral, this is a person who walked with God. He knew fellowship. He or she knew fellowship with God. We're going to come around this communion table in a few minutes. And the taking of communion signifies that we are in fellowship with Christ. It means that we have a personal relationship with Christ. We believe in him. We believe what he did, and he died on the cross for our sins. And we take the communion to remind us of the work that Christ has done in remembrance of him, of his body, of his blood, the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing of unrighteousness from our lives. And again, we're reminded of that in verse 9 of this text. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Only Jesus Christ can do that. When we take a communion, we are reminded of the unique fellowship that we have with him. And we only have that fellowship when we place our faith and trust in him. And when we take the communion, we are reminded of what is ahead. We are reminded that one day we're going to have eternal life with Jesus Christ. That is why communion is a unique time in the life of a Christian, in the life of someone who has put their faith and trust in the Lord. Because only those who have sincerely placed their faith and trust in Christ can take it and understand and appreciate the importance of it. I'm going to have the worship team come up. And as I'm speaking, I just want to close off the sermon this morning. Because we're going to lead you into some worship as soon as I'm done. I want to remind you about these points. If we walk in the light, we walk in obedience to the Word of God. If we walk in the light, we do what Jesus Christ, what God's Word has said to us. We walk in obedience. Secondly, we walk in transparency, guided by the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, we walk in the grace that is a gift of God. And finally, we walk in fellowship with Jesus Christ. David prayed this. You can fill this in on the bottom of your sermon outline. Through you are my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord illumines my darkness. Let this be our prayer this morning. Let this be our prayer. For we are meant to walk in the light. That is God's desire for us. Jesus made it possible for us to do that and to live.